101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, Digi Meech. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Meech, what's the word?
What's the word?
Hump day. Time to tap in. It's hump day. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. Happy Wednesday, Milwaukee. It's not that beautiful outside, but we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Meech, how you feeling today? What you eat?
I'm feeling good. I ate some jambalaya.
Ah, you flexing.
Yeah. You know, I had to have something today for you to talk about.
Yeah, I see. Who cooked it?
You know, I got it from the middle of the mall.
Ah, okay. that's my whole cultural background. So I'm eager to see how it tastes. Welcome to Tap In with your girl Jazzy and Meech. We got a special guest in the building, the legendary Chad Roper, Milwaukee's own. Chad, welcome to Tapped In.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, man.
How you feeling today?
Man, I'm blessed, man. I know you'd never get a complaint out of me.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. First and foremost, we always like to give our guests their flowers, primarily because we understand the work that you have put in, not just for Milwaukee industry, but the industry overall. We never get a chance to experience these platforms. We never get a chance to be around each other as much to show love and say thank you for all the work that you have put in. Yes, indeed. So, who is Chad?
Oh, man, I'm a brother from Milwaukee, man. I grew up right here in the city. Went to Rufus King High School is where I graduated from, man. And I'm just a brother who believe a dream is available to you, but it's up to you to put in the work for the dream. That's the problem sometimes that we have as people is we expect the dream instead of putting in the work for the dream. You know, people always like to talk, like, quote, Bible scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And but they always leave out the faith. They always talk about the faith part, but they leave out the works part. So to me, you got to put in the work. It's easy. It's even in the Bible for those who believe in the Bible. So, you know,
that's right.
It, man. I just believe in putting in the work.
That's right. So this platform, majority of our listeners and followers are youth. We work with a lot of youth. Mm-hmm. And what we've been trying to do is to bring on people that we respect who have some status and platform from the city to kind of teach them things that we feel like they aren't learning, whether it's at home or at school. A lot of it is dreams, purpose, legacy, discipline, all of the above. So to kick it off, what I want to know is when you were younger, what dream, what was it that you dreamed of and how close to your dream have you been able to accomplish?
Yeah, so when I was younger, my dream was being a Major League Baseball player. I grew up since the age of two to play baseball.
That's dope.
And I ended up becoming the player of the state of Wisconsin. So I did extremely well. I got drafted out of high school, but then when I got into college, which I got a full scholarship playing baseball,
yeah,
I met Rico Love.
Wow.
Me and Rico met in college at FAMU.
Yeah.
So
as I'm doing the baseball thing, he's doing the music thing,
yeah,
when we weren't in season, me and Rico would go to Atlanta.
Mm.
On the weekends, I would go to kick it. Rico would go to do music. And then one time, Rico said, man, come to the studio with me. So I ended up going to the studio and singing some hooks on him. So yeah, that's how me and him got connected, was through that. I didn't know him in Wisconsin.
That is crazy.
I met him in Tallahassee. So that's how I ended up getting connected. Now, I had always been doing music, so it wasn't like I just did it out the blue.
Right.
But my dream was really to play Major League Baseball. And then I ended up getting into the music industry because my grandfather used to always tell me to treat the janitor like the CEO,
yes,
because
yeah,
he just might be one day. So
yeah,
I was the older OG on campus.
Yeah.
So I would take Rico to eat. I remember him telling a story about us going to Applebee's happy hour. He didn't have no money,
mm-hmm,
but I invited him. And my rule is, most people's rules are, if you invite somebody, you pay for the meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited him to come hang out with us.
Yeah.
He was in his mind, he was ordering, thinking about how he was going to pay for it. But realistically, I'm like, dog, I invited you to come, so I'm gonna cover the cost. And he had me cracking up on my podcast talking about that. And I had no knowledge until he said it on that podcast. But I never thought about him paying for his food because I invited him.
Yeah.
So long story short, that's how I ended up getting into the music industry.
It was, wow,
Rico. By me treating him right as Richard Butler,
yeah,
as a college student, then when he became Rico Love, he was like, man. So when Lachey Martin, who's like
shout
my sister.
Shout out to Lachey.
She went on Making a Band.
Yeah.
And we were on another station with Smooth as Butter.
Yeah.
And we were talking, me and her, and Rez was talking, and Rico called in. It was like, man, at the time he had did the Usher, written throwback for Usher. He was like, man, Chad used to treat me so good in college, man. We used to go to Atlanta ride.
Yeah.
So, you know, he kind of like told some stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then He was like, man, you should come. I'm going to come to Milwaukee because I got to see my grandmother to write a song. And at the time, I had Big Sound Studios, which was on 44th and Hampton, which was in the house.
Yeah.
And he came through, wrote Let's Not Talk About It.
Wow.
I vocal produced it, engineered it, co-wrote with her. Me and her wrote the second verse and the bridge. And that's how. And he's like, man, who wrote this? I mean, who vocal produced this? Who did this? Who did that? And I'm like, me, bro. He's like, you do all this? Man, you got to come to Atlanta. So on my summer break, I was teaching. I was a high school math teacher. I spent the whole summer in Atlanta with him, working on. I would be in the studio with everybody, man. So next thing you know, we just start working. That's how I started.
That's crazy.
Listen, Lashae used to do my hair back in the day. She always
she's
was
still cold with the hair too.
You and Rico went to college together.
Yeah,
did all that kicking and whatever. Came back.
Back home.
Still ain't do no music.
Didn't do no, and then until he came back after Lashae. We never even talked about music. Even though I know he rapped and stuff, we never really talked. We just hung out.
You know what I'm saying?
So then once he found out I had a skill that he could use in his thing, because at the time, he wasn't a vocal producer.
Yeah.
He could write the songs, but he couldn't vocal produce the songs at that time. This was in the very beginning of his career. But that's what I could do. So I was just vocal producer. So I would be cutting records for everybody, man, with him. And then I would come back and teach, and I would just go there on weekends, every weekend.
The first time I met you was at Big Sid Studio.
Yeah. That's way. I hadn't worked with everybody by that time.
Yeah.
But literally, that's how we ended up working. And I would go, and eventually, what I did was when I was teaching, I had a candy store in the school. So I was making $27,500 as a salary as a school teacher, which was peanuts. But I was making $45,000 of untaxed funds selling candy, pickles, and chips and all that. So I was really teaching to sell the candy, and I would just stack that money. And then once I stacked up about $100,000, which was over a 2-year period, I quit and moved to LA.
That's literally,
and then me and him just got to working. The whole time we were working because I would just fly on the weekends.
Yeah.
I would fly, work, fly back on Monday, put on my wear my clothes for work, and go straight from the airport to the school. Literally.
That's amazing.
So it was about putting in the work.
Yeah.
Like divine intervention for real, real. So I'm real big on purpose-driven versus activity-driven.
Absolutely.
And I've adapted this primarily because I've noticed in the beginning of my career that everything was, I thought it was me chasing my dream, but it really was me chasing success. Mm-hmm. So for the youth and the young artists out there, how do you know the difference between chasing purpose versus chasing success?
That's very simple to break down. When you're chasing purpose, things begin to line up. When you're chasing success, you're always behind just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it feel like you're draining yourself. But when you're chasing purpose, you'll be tired, but you won't be drained. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, we have to understand those differences between being tired and being drained.
Yes.
And knowing how, when you're drained, to recharge yourself. But that's because you're chasing the wrong thing. And the difference also is when something is purposeful for you, God gave that to you.
Yes.
And God doesn't give you anything that he can't pay for. Meaning, it looks like there's a situation that you can't, no way, make a way for that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden,
it
turns around. Something switches.
Yeah.
That's because God paid for it already. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's when you can tell when it's a purpose and when it's
success.
So I think people need to understand the difference. And I like to say, because I've been knowing Jazz for a long time. And Jazz is very similar to me in that the fact that she likes to give. She's a giver.
Yeah.
I am as well.
Yeah.
So much so that I gave to undeserving and entitled individuals.
Yes.
However, I did what God put in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I never lacked anything in my career or in situations, because I did it with the intent of love and whatever, not in something in return. Jazz is the same way. So when people, I can name so many people that I've helped. Put it like this. If there are people who did major things out of the city,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, which means 90% of the time, they've crossed my path.
Yes. Yeah.
You can go from the biggest, like a Rico, to people who getting started. There's a young lady right now named, I have a community for music people who are interested in the songwriting, producing, management, all that type of things in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I have a community to help people. And there's a young lady that's in my community, a rap artist, and her name is CC Two Times,
okay.
right? And somebody was trying to do a distribution deal with this young lady. Now, this is one of the most, I don't know her. I never met her in person. I've only met her. She reached out to me asking questions on social media. I said, join my community.
Yeah.
So if something comes up, you're covered. And she didn't have, you know, the resources for like attorneys and all this type of stuff. But because she's a part of my community, I said, let me know anything that comes across your desk that you are unsure about.
Yes. Yeah.
And the young lady reached out to me. She's a part of my community. It cost her $0 to get my assistance. And I made sure she didn't sign a bad situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's about making sure people do what they're doing with as less stress as possible. And this is a hustling young lady, extremely talented young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to see is, I don't care where you're from, what you do, I want to see when you're doing what is purposeful for you, that you have as less speed bumps as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
But I just use that as an example because whether it's somebody that's a new artist,
mm-hmm.
or if it's somebody like a business boy or all these other people who've been
these
doing
events,
this. I've been working with, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, I'm a giver of whatever knowledge, information, whatever I can. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's extremely important for people like, I would say us. Mm-hmm. I can say you too, Mitch.
Yeah, you told me on the phone.
Me and Mitch talked, and it was brief, but I gave him some game.
I kind of needed it at that time.
So it's basically when you give, make sure that you save something for yourself.
Yeah.
The best thing that I've ever done is continue to give to people, but make sure that my time is accessed to those who really deserve it.
Yeah.
That's just things that we need to do as individuals who give a lot. You know what I'm saying?
And I've learned that the hard way.
Absolutely.
I have. But I also learned that now what I do before I even touch anything is pray on it.
Absolutely.
Because I've lost out on so much by having people around and the blessings just wasn't for them. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was talking to Mr. Do It To Death, Redante, and he was like, Jazz, what's in your cup for you, what overflows is for everyone else.
Yeah.
And we're always taught that, you know, the opposite.
Yeah.
So once I got that analogy from him, it became easier for me to maneuver through the industry. But I think now I've given so much to the point where it's like, Meech been trying to get me back in the booth, and I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with it. Not as a, from a rapper stance.
Right. I'll tell you a story. I was working with producers at one point, and situations were always coming across my desk.
Yeah.
Financial situations.
Yeah.
And I was making sure everybody was eating.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, those producers, or in particular one, decided they wanted to do their own thing, which that's my thing. But the way they went about doing it was incorrect.
Yeah.
My goal when you work with me is never for you to stay with me. Because I know how to get to the money by myself. There's never been a problem.
Yeah.
But the way you do it, it makes, well, this individual did it the incorrect way, and it was a reason they did it the incorrect way. That this was September of that year. October of the year, I made the most money in 1 month that I ever made in my life. And you know why? It was because it was there waiting for me. But because God knew that person and that person's intent, he wasn't supposed to eat off that.
Yeah.
That's right.
God removed him without me because he knew I wouldn't have removed him.
That's
he
right.
removed him. Exactly. And I was able to, you know what I'm saying? So certain things like that happen when you're doing things the right way.
Yeah.
And you always, I always say this, anybody, and you can fact check this, anybody that I've done business with, in their career, after they left me, they were better off than when they started before they met me.
Yeah, I mean,
every single person.
Yeah, we see
that. Every single person. I don't care who you talk about. Every single person is better from when they started, when they met me to start working with me, had better success. Now, whether they maintained it, they ain't got nothing to do with
me.
Sometimes it'd be a decline, but that ain't got nothing to do with me. But when they was with me, when they started
around,
with me,
you got something,
absolutely. So that says something, common denominator. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's how you look at it. And at that point, I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it ain't your fault. You thinking about the after effects.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's how young people got to look at it. As long as people are better off when they depart from you than when they were when they met you, you did your job.
That's right.
And you got to understand people are seasonal, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Majority of the people are seasonal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people, like me and Rico was just together Sunday.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying? We were just hanging out. We were just together. You know what I'm saying? We talk every day. You know what I'm saying? So that's a lifetime friend.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? But some people are seasonal. There are people that I work with, did things with, that I never talked to. I'll never talk to again. And I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? But then there are people in the industry, like I was with Business Boy recently. His grandmother passed.
Yeah.
I was at her funeral. That's my brother. You know what I'm saying? So certain things, and I'm gonna show up for my people. Yep. That's he my people. When I need him, he shows up every time.
That's right.
Jacob Lattimore, same way. Yep. Just certain people that's in my life. I just got to call about, you know, needing some things with him.
Yeah.
Hop right on it, got them what they needed right away. You know what I'm saying? Still to this day.
And, they call you too as a lifelong friend.
They call me for certain things, whether it's business, attorneys, whatever it is. They'll reach out to me for regular conversations, but then for other things, even like when Rick with his label, he was doing things. He caught when he saw what I was doing with Lakia. He reached out like, "Bro, let me tell me some of the plays you got going on." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he was at the he's more seasoned in it because I got in through him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But there's no ego with none of us. Yeah. If I know something he don't know, he gonna reach out. Vice versa. You know what I'm saying? That's how I go. Earl and Eric got signed, and y'all seen y'all had E2 on here.
Yeah.
E2 and them got in the music industry through me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's how I met Eric too. When I was over there.
Yeah, they got in the industry through me. Yeah. So they at the time I was Rico Love's engineer and vocal producer. Every producer you could think of that wanted him to write a song had to send their music to me.
Yeah.
Whether it's Timbaland, Dre and Vidal, Pharrell, whoever you could think of, they all had to email me to get to him, to get him music. Because when we got in the studio, he would literally say, pull up something. It was on me what I pulled up.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to go through the beats. I'm like, you want somebody big? You want somebody, you just tell me what type you want. Tim sent something? Yep, Timbaland. Or Pharrell sent something? Or this person sent something? So he would do that, and I would just pull up. I had everything folded.
Yeah.
He said one time we were working with Michelle Williams, Destiny's Child. He said, "Man, pull up some new producers." I pulled up Sean Hinton, and I pulled up Earl and E. Earl and E ended up writing a song called "The Greatest" for Earl and E.
Yeah.
From Earl and E's production on Michelle's.
Yeah.
He ended up doing the intro of Michelle's album was Sean Hinton's track. He asked me to pull up. I'm gonna pull up my people.
Yes, come on.
You know what I'm saying? So they get on the project. You know what I'm saying? They get checks. They end up signing. Earl and Eric end up signing with Rico.
Yeah,
that came through C Note. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it to brag, but Eric and Earl will say the same thing.
Yeah.
Sean will say the same thing.
Said it.
So at the end of the day, that's how to me. It's not about being when you're in position. Make sure you're putting people in position as well. And that's what young people we got to understand. Whatever is for you is going to be yours regardless.
Yep,
Didn't nothing in my career get derailed because I helped people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If anything, it helped me because now that I do more of the stocks and real estate, when I divvle and dabble in the music, I got people that's in powerful positions to reach up. I can skip the line.
Yeah.
And to me, with a lot of young people, this is something you got to understand. When somebody's been where you've been, stop trying to pick the lock and they got the key.
Yep.
Exactly. Why are we picking locks when somebody has the
yourself.
Key? It's crazy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times you try to pick a lock, and it's a lock like a safe type of lock. It's not like a lock on a door.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got one of those 10,000-pound safes in my home.
Yeah.
Man, you can blow that thing up, and it ain't opening.
Yep.
And you got to have a combination or the key.
Same problem.
Yeah.
You're going to keep running into the same problem.
Same problem.
We got Chad Roper in the building. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. Do not touch that dial. We will be back. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct. Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration is back, and 101.7 The Truth will be there all day long. Thank you to our Juneteenth partners, Educators Credit Union, Molson Coors, Tayback Law, American Family Insurance, and Milwaukee College Prep for helping us celebrate freedom, heritage, education, and community. Join us on King Drive for one of Milwaukee's most cherished traditions, brought to you by our sponsors, 101.7 The Truth. We got Chad Roper in the building, Milwaukee. Chad, we are talking dreams, purpose, legacy, music. I want to tap into the mental health piece.
Absolutely.
So for me, I started doing music 7th grade. It was me, Oki Pizzle, at Morris Middle School. And we formed a group. By the time I got to high school, I met Kool-Aid and another individual. And then they went up a different level. By the time I met Zaytoven, I was about 20, 21, so I felt like the transitioning has always been there, but the preparation mentally was not there. I was not mentally prepared for that level at 21, especially coming from Milwaukee, right? What is the best way to prep for young artists if you are entering into this music industry?
See yourself. See yourself as the largest version of yourself. So if I'll use like a Beyonce or Rihanna as the bar.
Yeah.
See yourself as that. So when that becomes to fruition, it's not a surprise. A lot of times people have such low expectations for themselves, they're shocked.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When it actually happens, they're like, oh my God.
I mean, so then, I've seen it.
Yeah, like, and then they start to self-sabotage themselves. Yeah. And if they don't have a team around them.
That part.
That's going to let them know, listen, whatever it is, whatever we do, I'm going through it with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever. When I was working with LaKia, whatever LaKia went through, when the city had the backlash, guess who was right there?
Yeah.
Me. We were, matter of fact, we were in New York. We were standing outside Biggie house taking a picture when we started getting text messages. We were literally outside Biggie's old complex. So I'm like, hey, whatever this is, we gonna ride.
Yeah.
That's it. We ride. Ain't no whatever. If I'm on your team, you got a problem with us, not them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So what that did was it did not stop the momentum we had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It did not. We did all the radio, all the breakfast clubs, and all these other. It didn't stop nothing. What people have to understand is you got somebody. If you have somebody there, take advantage of having somebody there. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with being used. Just don't be misused.
Misused. That's right.
That's all.
That's what my biggest thing is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Use me right.
Yeah. Don't misuse.
But it's on you to dictate how to be used. It's not on them. You set the standard for how to be used.
Yeah, you just get up and
do. Yeah. Like right now, people think I'm the I remember Steven Jackson when he played for the Bucks.
Yeah.
He finally got in contact with me. He said, boss.
Yeah.
I'm an NBA player, and I couldn't find you.
Yeah.
I've been looking for you for 2 months since I got here to Milwaukee, because he rapped.
Yeah.
He wanted to get with me to record and all that stuff, so we ended up working together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he was like, bro, I've been trying to get nobody. DJ O wouldn't give you my number. Give me your number. Nobody would get. They said they got to talk to you first. He's like, man, you like the hardest person on the planet to get in contact with. I said, I absolutely am, and it's for a reason, but I'm glad we finally connected.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you have to limit access to yourself. That helps a lot.
Yep.
When you're doing something like that in the music industry, now think about working a 9-to-5, making maybe 30, 40 grand a year, and then, boom, you got 200,000, 300,000. Boom, you start making some M's. That's a big jump for anybody. So you will start to get scared because you're not used to that, and you will start to self-sabotage yourself.
Yeah.
But if you got a team around, like when I'm on your team, I make sure we set your business up. I make sure make sure your credit is on point.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure we pay you through your company.
Mm-hmm.
Like things that you're supposed to do in business. So now, when I'm not around, when it's time to the tax people to show up, you ain't, you don't owe $500 million. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that it's things like that you do when you have a good team, but it all goes back to having a good team, literally. And to me, that's where a lot of the mental health starts at. And then you can't allow your family to affect. What you got going on.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I had a client who family was doing the most, but they weren't doing the most before they got some paper.
Yeah, because your family supposed to be your first support system.
That's right.
Yeah, but
to support you.
But when you become the breadwinner, like having the biggest bag in the family, entitlement sets in, period.
Yeah. Yep.
So when I start working with certain clients and they family start getting involved, I started like, listen, now your family is the reason I'm even here. But all of a sudden, they got all the answers. But why didn't they have the answers before I showed up?
That's right.
All of a sudden, today, now that you got some paper, they know all the answers. But when we was working toward, before the paper came, they ain't had no answers. Everybody was calling me for the answers.
Now they think you doing it. Yeah. Doing that.
Yeah, now they got an idea of what you can do with your career. But when they told me to come around,
they ain't know what they doing.
They was like, well, I don't do this. This ain't my business. My business is this. My business ain't that. But all of a sudden, now they got ideas. How all of a sudden
now
the money
moving?
And not just family. Outsiders as well.
Friends.
People you don't know, people that's friends. So they see, a lot of times when you work with artists or producers or songwriters that start to get successful, before the artist or songwriter or producer get successful, don't nobody want to do nothing with them.
Yeah.
As soon as they see motion, dollar signs go into other people's ear. Now, if the artist, producer, or songwriter is dumb enough to fall for it, you will see their career decline once you move. Once the main people who was around, that the money didn't matter. Like me, I had money when I worked with except when I worked with Rico, we both coming up together. But like a lot of the producers and artists and everything that I worked with, I had money when I was working with them. So I didn't need, it wasn't like I was depending on them.
You know what I'm saying?
I was already me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm not there for the paper. I'm going to make sure I'm going to make some money because you're going to make some money.
Exactly.
I'm not, I'm not there for the money. So if we got ideas we want to do, and you're an artist that work with me, if we want to shoot a video, we shooting the video. We not waiting on a label to shoot a video. Yeah. If we want to do a photo shoot, we doing a photo shoot.
For real.
Lakia's first photo shoot on her thing, I paid for that. Yeah. The label didn't pay for that. Me.
Yeah.
On her first mixtape cover that first came out in December, that was her. Keontae styled her, her girlfriend at the time, styled her.
Mm-hmm.
I put the money up for the shoot and the clothes.
Yeah.
And we shot it. The label spent money on the shoot before that. We did our own thing, and that thing, Keontae styled her, that thing went crazy.
Damn,
got her
numbers.
Custom pieces. I paid for that. That wasn't the label.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The label had to reimburse me after, you know, whatever, because they wanted the content, because if I pay for it, I own it.
Right. Yeah,
but you got to buy it from me. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So at the end of the day, long story short, if I was the average person who couldn't afford it, then we could never shot that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It cost $5,000. Yeah. The average person ain't just got $5,000 to throw around like
you're
that.
You sitting around waiting
so
on the label.
That's how you don't have to wait for the label when you got your ducks in a row and you do business for real. You've been doing business before this even comes. So certain things like that are extremely important. Now, what that says to my artists is when we want to do something, we're going to do it whether the label rock with us or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an idea we got,
let's go.
Because her and her girl thought that we could do it better. Yeah. I said, hey, if y'all think so, let's go.
Yeah.
And we did it better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
And don't get it twisted. That's not a dig at the label. At the time, we knew her better than they knew her because she was new to them.
Yeah, and they had like all the artists going crazy.
Absolutely.
It's like, did y'all even have time?
It wasn't even about that. They did a pristine job. It just they didn't know the artist.
Yeah.
Because she was brand new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my goal was to get them to see what this is and then what take it to where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
And that was all. But in order to do that, you got to have resources to do that. And we had resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's all. And that makes your client feel comfortable because they know, you know what I'm saying? Even to the fact when I negotiate for my client, my negotiations don't take, it ain't quick. It took us for the, they was like, man, this is the longest negotiation I ever been through. But we want to make sure it's right, brother.
That's right.
I want to make sure everybody feel good when we done. Nobody's going to get what they want.
Yeah.
Everything they want. But everybody going to get majority of what they want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now, if there has to be an exit clause, I want it to be easy for my client to exit if there ever that comes a time. Whether I'm around or not, I want it to be an easy transition.
That's right.
For both parties.
Because you're still attached to it.
Absolutely. Because now what they're going to say, oh, I had this bad deal and it was because of dude.
No,
that's not going to happen under my watch.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's right.
That's it, man. And that all that plays a part. I say all that to say all that plays a part in mental health.
Yes.
If somebody doesn't feel like you can help them, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, that's not the end all be all, but that lessens the contributions to the mental health.
Absolutely.
Knowing that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, I ain't acting like I'm perfect. We made mistakes figuring things out, but that's whether I'm working with writers, producers, whatever. I made mistakes, but I'm a human being as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't a mistake where
it was intentional.
And it cost them something financially, like it was a financial hardship. It didn't cost them financially.
No.
It didn't cost them, you know what I'm saying, like in that area. It may have cost us some time, but it didn't cost us in revenue, which is a good thing.
She did well.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No. She doing well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, I'm not talking about just one artist. I'm talking about where there was a songwriter. I've helped songwriters that were in bad publishing deals. One particularly from here. He was like on the brink of wanting to commit suicide. His deal was so bad that he negotiated himself.
See?
And an attorney that didn't care, just wanted to check.
Yeah.
I helped them get out their deal and got them in a better deal.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? Like literally.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, they were in the now what they do with that deal once they in it is completely on them.
Yeah.
Yep, that's
but
right.
My thing was the deal that I got you was 10 times better than the deal you got yourself.
At the time he called you, his
absolutely.
Mental health
man, he was a man. He was going ham.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, and they could be happy now and all that type of stuff, but don't forget how you got there.
Yeah.
Don't forget we all make mistakes, but it can be done right if you have the right team around.
That's right.
That's
right. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. Hydro, what it good? 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, Digi Meech. We are live and direct at the 3rd Street Market Hall in the beautiful downtown Milwaukee. We got a special guest in the building, Meech. Who we got?
We got Shy Roper, legendary producer.
Yes,
this
indeed.
Is like everybody we got, legends.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
What that make us, Jazz?
Legends? I think that make us legends, Meech.
Yeah, what that make us?
We are talking music, dreams, purpose, legacy, mental health. Obviously, mental health is a huge part of anyone's life, no matter what career they're in or what they have going on. But particularly in the music industry, one of the things that I've noticed has gotten worse is the crash out behavior with artists. Why do you think that is? Why do you think so many artists have mental health problems?
Because they're not dealing with individuals where they can actually talk to. Mm-hmm. And to me, when you hold, when you, you know, it's like shaking a soda up.
Yeah.
Eventually the cap top's gonna pop off. So I feel like you got to make sure when you're building your team, you got people you really trust around you.
Yeah.
Who you know you're not going to. I remember one time we did a show in like Mutland, South Carolina. And I got home and when I work with artists or whatever clients, I have a spreadsheet of what the expenses were, what the amount of money brought in, that type of thing. And I looked and said, and I said, oh, I got an extra $20. So I Apple Pay Lakia $20. She's like, what's this? I was like, I got an extra $20 and it can't be mine.
Yeah.
She's like, dog, it's $20. I said, somebody is still $20?
They're
still $20,000. They're still $20 million.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with a small amount. I'm going to send this little dub back because this don't belong to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to have people around you could trust because now I got access to bank accounts and all this. So if you can't trust me, what if I'm penny pinching every time?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now I got a spreadsheet, not just for your safety, but for mine too. So when we got, if they're not, in the case we didn't, if we ever got to go to court, I could say, well, here's all of the things we've ever done and here's all the expenses and the receipts.
That's
right. You got to do that type of thing. So, but what that does is it covers you as if you're management at the time or whatever, but it also gives the artist or the clients or the writer or producer a peace of mind. I never would take money to me with any of my clients. The money would go to them or their business and then they would have to pay me because I want you to see the money. I want you to see the amount because I don't want you to think the show we got 30, I said 30,000, but we really got 50.
Yeah.
So they paying me 50, they paying you 30, and then you giving me 20% of that 30.
Yeah.
I don't want that type of problem. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay your company, and you're going to Zelle me, wire me, or whatever, my paper. That way you can see the amount. The money came to you first.
That's right.
So certain things like that, when you implement those type of practices, it allows the artist, producer, songwriter to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
When I do publish deals or catalog deals with artists or producers, whatever, I make sure the investors or whoever is buying it, pay them. And then the artist, producer, songwriter, whatever, pay me.
Yeah.
Now it has to have a peace of mind. So what your goal is to make sure that you create peace of mind for that client of yours so now they don't have to crash out because they can see. And then I've even reached out to some of the artists that were doing things when they were going, like they may have been going viral and things like that, to say, if you need help, I'm available.
Yeah.
But You know, don't wait till it go bad. Don't call me when it go bad because I'm not gonna try to. You can't get help at that point. I'm not finna clean up a mess.
Yep.
And some artists took advantage of it. Some artists waited till it went bad to try to say I'm ready for help. No. You ain't ready for help now.
That's right.
It don't come now. It is over with.
Right now, that's what they do.
Man, listen.
They call me right now. Like bro. It's over. Like you know, can't beat me.
Three weeks ago, I talked to this artist. What's this? 26. I talked to this artist in 24 when they was doing some things. I even had a meet. E2 had me meet with them in 25. And they had people on their team that they were comfortable with. I said, well, I'll work with you along with them.
Yeah.
Because you know me, but you don't know me like that. But
that's
you trust
them.
So let's work with them.
Yeah.
We work together and try to help you to the situation. The artist didn't want to do some things. And I said, oh, no problem, man. Good luck with everything, man. I told the manager, hey, listen. You know, if you need some help, just reach out to me. If I got time, I can help you out. And I was done with it.
Yeah.
That same artist came back 3 weeks ago saying, man, I'm ready for, I ain't no ready.
Without the management?
Yeah.
No, not talking about, I'm ready for help now. I'm cool. That time expired after our meeting, Buck.
Yeah.
You said you was cool. We was cool at that moment. I'm done with it. And when I fared you, you know, wish you well, that means, man, listen, I'm good.
You can't even pay me to do
that. I'm good at that point because now you come in. When you come, when people come like that, they come out of something. Not in this case, it may not have been desperation.
That's
I don't know. I didn't even give
it's
it a chance.
Desperation. Yeah.
But
desperation.
A lot of times it's in desperation at that point. All the wells have dried up and things like that. I'm not finna, you know what I'm saying?
They're trying to find everybody who said they'd help them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm cool.
Exactly.
Like, at that point, nah.
Well, you could have just been working with me from the beginning.
Yeah, so my thing is when you're on your way up,
my
goal is to help the air under your wings continue to stay there. That's it.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna take credit. But people didn't know I was working with Lakia for years. She had to, one time, you know how people found out? They saw me in the background of a video shoot in her story.
Yeah.
I was in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they find. I would never take no pictures. I would never do nothing. My goal wasn't to be the name or the what's the name. My goal was to be.
I know what video
the,
you talking about.
Yeah, I just happened to be on the back. Yeah,
walking through the
walking through.
Yeah, I know exactly what video
they like.
You're
man, look at through. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly so what video you're
at that point, it was the cap was off the back, but it wasn't about me taking credit for nothing. Like I don't rap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the to me that's extremely important that artists have people, and it always go back to this.
Yeah.
Artists have to have people around them that they trust and they believe in. For example. What artists also have to understand, producers and songwriters and managers have to understand is, it's never too late to be what you might have been.
Yeah.
So that means that whatever it is you thought you were going to be, it's never too late to get to that point.
Yes.
You just got to lock in and do the work. And to me, most people quit too soon. Mm-hmm. Y'all ever seen that meme where
dude digging
for the... For the diamond, and he stopped, and it's like a thin layer in the diamond right there.
He turned around.
He turned around. That's exactly what most people do.
I did it. Yeah. I did it, but I did it intentionally.
Yeah.
You know,
that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did it intentionally, but also it was a weird time because we were pre-social media.
Mm-hmm.
So right when I started, like, obviously I had a name here in, like, Atlanta, but right when I started hitting the blogs and all of that, that's when Instagram dropped. Twitter drop, you know, so now it's changing because you no longer have to go to people in person and promote. You got to do it online, which is beneficial, but we were not taught how to properly market on social media. And it wasn't I give up. I think it was just like, there's going to be another level.
I tell Jazz she can put out music without trying to be the number one artist in the world. You know what I mean? It's you could make money. You could, you know,
I like writing now. I write and produce.
You release your subconscious and everything but about, you know.
Writing ain't a bad thing as well. So I always tell people, too, like, especially with artists, you're talking about crashing out.
Yeah.
When people do that, don't laugh, learn. Like, remember when Tyrese was going through that, everybody was laughing. But learn.
Mm-hmm. Was,
learn what's going on.
Yeah.
So, it by the grace of God, it don't become you.
Yep.
And to me, in our community, black community, we like to laugh a lot. When realistically, we should be learning on what really took taking place. Why? How, what got them to that point? So now we can help. Because to me, a brilliant person learns from others' mistakes.
Yeah.
Only a fool learns from their own most of the time. Mm-hmm. Which means you did the same thing 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it's easier for me to see you walk and bump your head because you're too tall, and I know I'm taller than you to say, okay, let me duck when I go through here.
Yeah.
And to me, that's extremely important. I think that our community needs to learn. Like, we are the bump our head community.
Yes.
To me, that's crazy.
You gotta
bump your head for it, though. You gotta touch the soul to see if it's hot.
And you're even gonna pay attention to someone else's mistakes just because the ego. It's like,
Yeah.
That ain't finna happen to me.
Doesn't make sense.
That's them.
Exactly. That's exactly what they say. And that's why they end up in the situations that they be in. 833-212-1017. We got Chad Roper in the building. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct. Happy Hump Day, Milwaukee Meech.
It's Hump Day. I wasn't gonna sing.
You gotta stick to producing, Meech.
What's the word, Truth Nation?
Shout out to the chat. Shout out to all the listeners. Make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got a Milwaukee legend in the building. Not just Milwaukee, but an industry legend who happens to be from Milwaukee, Chad Roper. Chad.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, this is all the producers, big homie right here.
For real.
It should be. It got to be.
Listen. All love, man. Listen, it's what everybody who, quote unquote, I'm a big homie to, they're way more talented than I am.
That's how I be feeling.
The difference is, I just have the literally cut on and cut off of business. I know how to make it not personal.
Yes.
And that's the hard part. Most people like to make it personal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Josh, talking about that.
Yeah. Like, you got to just literally, if we doing business, problem. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad one way or another because we doing business.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing something personal and it's something different, that's a different situation. But as long as we doing business, I'm not taking nothing personal.
One thing I appreciate you, Chad, about is it doesn't matter how long a person goes without talking to you. If you rock with them, they can call you anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. And ask for any type of advice or anything. And it's so many people that do not offer that, especially to the generation that's under them. So I just wanted to highlight that. That's a big deal.
That.
It's a huge deal, especially in today's world. So
I wanted to be what I didn't have. So me and Rico, our generation, we didn't have that. We didn't have OGs to talk to that had the game to give us. We didn't have it. It was gate kept at that time.
Yeah.
So we said, when we get in position, we not going to be that. That's why I got that school community I got.
Yeah.
Because if people need help, just like I was talking about the young lady, she needed help. She reached out. She DM'd me, and then she called me. I said, this is not a text message. This is a situation we got to actually have a conversation about.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that she don't get, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Yeah. So I wanted to be what I didn't have. And that's what we need to do as people. Be what you wanted when you were coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't have a father growing up. I'm an amazing father.
Yeah.
But my father was trash. And that's okay. But I'm not, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it stopped with me.
That's right.
So now Deuce, when Deuce have kids, he going to be better than me. He's supposed to be better than me. He's going to have a better start than me. He's going to have more money than I had when I started. All that type of stuff. Because that's what you're supposed to do, pay it forward.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So how do you – one of the reasons why I don't do music anymore is because there was a period of time where it was so hard for me to be inspired,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially when you're juggling parenthood, mm-hmm. you know, being a spouse, a multitude of things. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you do to stay inspired, especially coming back home? Because we know being here sometimes, it can be very draining.
Yeah, so to me, you have to be self-motivated in order to make it in this. Most 90% of those who are stars, big stars, whatever, writers, producers, they're self-motivated. I watched Rico write great hit record. We were in the studio with Usher at a time he was going through his tax issue. Now, he could have let that bother him.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the records and all that. I saw it firsthand because when I was in Miami, I was staying at his house. So I saw everything firsthand that was going on. And he kept it to the stuck to the business. He didn't let the outside noise deter what he had going on.
Yeah.
And to me, it's about being self-motivated. The greats are self-motivated. Point blank. They're the most disciplined and they're self-motivated. Literally, that y'all see Kevin Hart, how he'll get up and do the morning runs or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
To this day, the man Filthy Rich, he still get up at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning to work out before he start his day.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's discipline. Certain things you just got to do self-motivated that you can't look for motivation. Like, if you're in a marriage, and you're looking for your spouse to make you happy. It's over with for that marriage.
I promise you.
I never look for my wife to make me happy. I don't.
I
look for me to make me happy, and then she can contribute to it.
That's right.
And that's how it's the same concept applies when you do the music or the writing or the whatever. Whatever it is you do, you got to make yourself happy. And to me, that's what it's about. You have to be self-motivated. If you're not self-motivated, that's not the industry for you.
Absolutely. Period. I got some rapid fire questions for you. I'm going to ask you a question and then I want you to tell me why. Dream bigger or work harder?
Dream bigger.
Why?
Because work, you're going to always work. But if you limit your dreams, there's only a certain level of work you're going to do. So you got to make sure you continue to you need to dream so big it seems impossible.
Yes. You got
to
keep working.
You got to keep working. You got to keep going. So dream, you got to be delusional. That's
absolutely. Fame or freedom?
Freedom.
Well, we know why.
Absolutely.
What artists do you believe that every young person should study?
I would study Michael Jackson because you have to learn the pros and the cons outside of the fake foolishness of the kid. Outside of that foolishness
part,
I'm talking about how he built his brand, how he mastered what a brand was, how he was hands down the biggest artist to ever live, period.
Facts.
Nobody was bigger than him. So you need to study what did he do at the time, and then apply it to modern day times. If Michael Jackson had social media right now, he'd have a billion followers.
Yep.
Think about that.
Well over that.
So think about it like that. So literally study the best whoever did it. It's him.
Absolutely. I agree. What is one dream that you are still chasing? And how often do you create new dreams?
I create my new dreams are like development, like I do the real estate thing and the stock day trading and stock market thing. But now I want to get into the development side of it. So that's a dream of mine now. I read a book by Don Peoples, and he was the first black man to start building skyscrapers and things of that nature. So now I'm trying to go in that realm. And one thing about real estate and stocks, the numbers are the numbers.
Right.
They don't talk back. They don't have an attitude. They don't feel crazy. So I had artists trying to get me to work with them. I'm like, man, please. I made $5,000 in my boxing shorts.
And they had to deal with nobody. They
had to do, and went right back to bed in 30 minutes. I'm cool. Yeah. I got to get on the plane, whatever, to make 5 G's with you. I'm cool.
And you still got to hear you. Still got to answer. Yeah.
Absolutely. The dreaming part is hard because I run into a situation where I've accomplished a dream that I wanted since I was a child, but I never prepared for after the dream. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hardest part. And when you get to that point, it's easy to kind of hit rock bottom. So how do you prepare to dream once you achieve your dreams? Because a lot of times where we grow up, we're not even taught to dream, let alone accomplish our dreams.
Absolutely. The dream should be like a tree. Mm-hmm. The dream should be the stump, but then there are branches to the dream. So you got to create it like that.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, the key to continuing your dreams.
Yeah.
People, like, let's think about all the billionaires who make the apps and things of that nature. The app started as one thing. Mm-hmm. But then, remember when Instagram started, it was just pictures or whatever. Then you got 5-second videos, 15-second this and that. And now you got stories and this and lives and all that. They kept adding to the branches of the tree. They kept having branches to the tree. You have to have branches to the tree. Mm-hmm. The dream is the stump.
Yeah.
The extra are the branches. So you got to continue to have branches to your dreams. And I always tell people one thing about a dream, it never expires. I met a woman, an old lady, when I was traveling back from New York, and she was in her 80s, and she sat next to me. I had on a jogger suit. I didn't have a haircut or whatever. I looked real rough, and she was talking to me because we were waiting on a delayed flight. She said to me, "One thing, young man," white lady too, which was surprising. Most white people would stay away from me because I look.
I don't know how to.
Yeah. So she basically said to me, "Young man, I'm 87 years old or 78, one of the two, and there are some things in my life I wanted to do that I did not do, and I regret it to this day. So if anything you want to do, try it. I would rather for you fail and understand that you tried it than to wonder what would have been like that you have that if you would have tried it. So I always tell people, whatever it is you're trying to go for, go for it. I'm a kid from Milwaukee that grew up on 16th and Atkinson, the capital, and I wanted to be in the music industry and be the biggest.
Yeah.
And you're still chasing.
And I'm still, I did some great things.
But you, it gave dream me, still,
yeah, my dreams still, but it, my dreams have changed from that.
Yeah.
But my thing is, bro, I done traveled the world with music. Mm-hmm. I done been to South Africa. I done been to, I was in Santorini before Rick Ross and them and his Kardashians been. I've been in Greece and all that, way before people were talking about it.
Yeah.
This was 2014, 15. I'm there doing it. You know what I'm saying? So I've done things around the world that
off your
music,
dreams.
That music. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't pay $1.99.
Absolutely. That's how you make the dream work for you.
Yeah. So
last question. Finish this sentence. What does the culture need more of and less of?
The culture needs more authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And less putting on. We need more authenticity and less putting on. You got to realize anger is not a strategy and frustration is not a business plan.
Come on now.
You got to make sure that when you do things, you have a strategy because wealth is created with strategy.
That's right.
So when you're angry and frustrated, that's not a business plan.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you to where you got to go.
Facts.
And I think if we deal more with authenticity and when we're wrong, taking accountability and figuring out how to fix the wrong, just like with the Essence Festival, they had those issues.
Yeah.
The gentleman who owns it says, we have these issues. We're taking accountability.
Yeah.
It's going to be better next year.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what I'm, you know, that's the thing. That's not normal in our community. Mm-hmm. We like to blame somebody. So,
that's a fact.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for joining us, Chad. Do you have any shout outs?
Man, I just want to shout out my son and my wife. That's it.
Everybody else know what's up.
Hey, man, it is what it is. Right. I'm going to shout out the people who hold me down. You know what I'm saying? So, Deuce.
Absolutely.
And them. And
Absolutely.
Keisha.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Do not touch that dial. We will be back 101.7 The Truth.